Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Board of Directors of WMATA. I'd like to recognize the Secretary to call the roll.
Chair Evans?
Here.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Here.
Vice Chair Smedberg?
Here.
Director Horner? Director,
David.
Director Horner?
Did we lose him?
He must be on mute.
Here.
Director Price?
Pay attention.
Director Goldman?
Here.
Director Dorsey? Director McMillan. Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. Our first item in the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I'd like to move the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for the February 28, 2019 board meeting, the February 28, 2019 board executive session, March 6, 2019 board executive session, March 14, 2019 board executive session. I'd like to move the approval of the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed. The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda, Mr. Wiedefeld, is the employee spotlight.
All right. Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. For this month's employee spotlight, we're recognizing two transit police officers, Joseph Muno and Megan Blaskowitz. Megan, if you could stand. Joseph couldn't be here today. He actually had to go to court doing his job. But let me just read what these two fine officers have done. Late last year, both officers were on duty at Stadium Armory Station when they noticed a young man acting erratically. They observed him run down the escalator, take off his backpack, and throw it on the ground before heading to the edge of the platform where he planned to jump in front of an oncoming train. Officer Muno sprinted across the platform and saved the young man's life by grabbing him out of the way of the approaching train. After moving to a safe location, the officers questioned why he was running. The young man stated he had been threatened by another student that day. He said he had been planning to jump in front of the train because he was tired of being continuously threatened and bullied over the years. After advising the young man's mother of the incident, the officers arranged transport for an evaluation and later contacted the social services to ensure a caseworker was assigned to follow up with the school administration. The officers have since developed a mentor relationship with the young man and have helped him see that he has people who care about his future. In fact, the officers even connected with him for his birthday, bringing gifts and throwing a small celebration. Both officers' dedication and commitment to go beyond the duties of their job reflects a set of core values that they and many others at Metro have in being dedicated and caring public servants. And in this case, I would add heroic public servants. Officer, please join us up front for your award.
Gotcha. Okay, thank you. Okay, next item on our agenda is the public comment. We have two people who have signed up today, Gayton Pendergrass. Okay, welcome to the Metro Board. Oh, no, we got three people now. Okay. Good morning. Where'd you go? Oh. What you doing? signatures. Mr. Pendergrass, I'll give you another minute, okay? So that'd be great. Go ahead. Let's just set the clock for one more minute. Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Pendergrass. Thank you. Okay, our next public witness is Rico Danne. What is it? Oh, Dancy. I'm sorry, I can't read this right. Dancy. You get 4 minutes.
Good afternoon. Good morning. The name of my letter is called the National Bad Debt Advocate. We serve, we have a total of over 1,500 debt department people who got it. 80% of them were bad national debt. 80% of the notes is a debt steward, MSD. We are on the take before us to get the money back. next month, this whole program will be on indefinitely. We are coming down here and pick numbers. So my grandma told me number would change action. So we reached out to our vice president, who is also deaf. We want to know why. Did other cities do it? Why can't measure it? Okay? Because we are concerned. We raised the big issue about money tax. 80% of them will get SSI, SSBI. We want to know why can't we not have money tax for the work that they do? Treat our disabled people exactly as human. Thank you. We want money tax. We will bring more people down here that will change our lives. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Dancy. And finally, Mr. Torres. Welcome to the Metro Board, Mr. Torres. Good morning.
I am 6'4", blind, metro access user. And I am here today as a partner. The first is the selection of the sedan at metro access. At the last there were three people on display. I checked out two of them. The Chevy Malibu had been used for and essentially the reason why I had this morning is because the fourth valve has featured the only two vehicles that is covered that topic of my height in the front seat. And we will be able to do that with my height. I cannot sit in the back seat. There are those four who have suggested moving the front seat for different reasons, but I would like to put it here. But if you remove the front seat from any of those vehicles, it means that I will not be able to use that from a similar size. I will not be able to use those vehicles. Now, as it stands, the cars cannot service all the traffic. Folks in wheelchairs will not be able to be accommodated. If you remove the vehicle, if you remove the front seat from the vehicle, that will limit access to people like myself. So the logic states before the front seat from the vehicle. I have submitted my comments right later. There's a little more that I have to say about this. I'm not going to say it, but I recommend it to help the people. It doesn't have to be that one. It's something that doesn't. My last comment is, many times the cars are not able to pick up passengers on time. They're late for appointments. They're late for meetings. They're critical.
You too. Thank you very much. Okay, our next item on the agenda is the report by the Accessory Advisory Committee. Mr. Posner? Mr. Posner? Is Mr. Posner here? You're not allowed to speak, Mr. Oh, Denise Rush is here. Okay. Okay. Ms. Rush, welcome to the Metro Board. Good morning.
Sure did.
We were out there freezing, but the day that took us, he bust, he brought, 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 out.
Thank you very much, Ms. Rush. It was very, very helpful. Any questions by any of the board members?
Mr. Chairman, I would like to just thank Ms. Rush. We had a wonderful time out in the cold and in the blowing wind the other day. Look forward to doing that again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Rush. Okay. Our next item on the agenda is a report by the Writers Advisory Council, Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Writers Advisory Council submitted a letter to us on March 13th in advance of the Finance Committee hearing on the budget, and I'll just remind you all of that. That document, which looked to prioritize what the RAC would see as the way forward for the board this year with the budget, And as we've constructed the final budget document, what we've done is actually included the two things that they prioritize most as priorities for this year, extensions on both the red and yellow lines. Some of the areas that they thought were of lesser importance, one is not included in this budget, the weekend flat fare. And they also recommended that we not provide any subsidies for ride-sharing services. And, of course, there is are some resources in there to do that. But most importantly, moving forward, they identified about a half dozen other rider-centric proposals that they would like for the board and staff to consider in the construction of the FY21 budget. So we very much thank the RAC for getting into the budget as constructively as they did this year.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Any questions for Mr. Dorsey? Okay, thank you very much. Next item on the agenda is a report by the chair. So good morning, everyone. Today we are scheduled to vote on the FY 2020 budget. On behalf of the board, I want to thank everyone who participated in the public participation process regarding the budget. I also want to thank the board and staff for your tireless work that brought us to this point. In addition to the budget public outreach, we've held a number of board committee meetings and work sessions over the last 6 months. We've recognized the need for more customer-focused initiatives, worked through significant service-related policy issues, and done our best to craft a budget within the legislatively mandated 3% cap. We all know there's more work to be done, but I'm pleased we are ready to address the budget today, and we look forward to the vote. Finally, I want to note that there will be only one day of board meetings next month, and that will be on Thursday, April 25th. There will be no board activities on April 11th. Thank you very much. That concludes my report, and I'll now recognize Mr. Wiedefeld for his report.
Good morning again. I'll just hit very briefly on safety, service reliability, and fiscal management. On the safety side, as the board knows, last week the Washington Metro Rail Safety Commission received federal certification and took over safety oversight of Metro Rail from the Federal Transit Administration. As part of the responsibilities, the commission will do the following. They'll conduct triennial audits of Metro. They'll review, approve, and oversee a Metro safety plans. They will verify that corrective action plans are implemented, and they will conduct any investigations into accidents or major incidents if required. This transaction is the culmination of significant work, and I want to thank particularly FTA and Acting Administrator Jane Williams and her staff for the tremendous job they did over the last few years ensuring safety on the system. We also appreciate the efforts of Metro's jurisdictional partners and many Metro employees who have assisted in this effort. We look forward to working with the new commission and ensure the continued safety and reliability of Metro Rail system. In terms of service, the Cherry Blossom Festival kicked off last week, and we're expecting peak bloom next week, maybe Monday. This weekend, with highs expected in the 70s, will be a great time for families, visitors, and residents to enjoy the National Mall and other spring attractions. To ease visitors' access to the festivities around the events, we have suspended all daytime track work for four consecutive weekends. And again, during large events like these, Metro is clearly the most convenient way to get around the region, and we look forward to serving the hundreds of thousands of customers that will be using us during the upcoming weekends. In terms of fiscal responsibility, as the chairman just mentioned, the 20 budget is being considered today. Again, for the second year in a row, that does not call for any fare increases or service cuts for our customers, and I think that is very important to underline. In addition, there are a number of improvements for customers like in this year's budget, including running all yellow line trains to Greenbelt, running red line trains to Glenmont during weekday rush hours and weekends, and improved past offerings, including a more affordable seven-day bus pass, which now costs just $15 for a week of unlimited bus rides. This is a great deal for our most price-sensitive customers. The budget also complies with a 3% cap mandated by Maryland, Virginia, and importantly, invests $1.5 billion in capital funding to rebuild the Metro system and improve effectiveness and safety of our current network. This high-level investment is a result of the dedicated funding, which the region stepped up and provided last year. and will be allocated for the first time in fiscal year 2020. I want to thank the board again for their support and involvement in creating this year's budget. And if I could just end on I just wanted to bring to attention the board two recognitions that the Metro has just recently received. One is the Washington Business Journal recently announced its best real estate deals of 2018, and Metro's new headquarters building in Southeast D.C. made the list. So I want to congratulate our real estate team and obviously the board for supporting that initiative. Each year, we find that proximity of Metro system is a common thread among the individual honorees of this award. Taken alone, each development will have significant major impact to the economy. But together, it's clear that Metro continues to be a critical driver in new development, and public transit is important to businesses as well as their employees. Finally, I also like to take a moment to celebrate our Smart Benefits team, which has been selected for this year's Go DC Goes 2019 Partner Award. This team was worked tirelessly over the past few years with Go DC Go's Employer Services Office to help DC employers sign up, provide commuter benefit programs for their employees. DC businesses are required to offer this type of benefit under district's commuter benefits law, and our team has helped make compliance as seamless as possible while bringing valuable transit benefits to workers. So congratulations to them as well. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That concludes my remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Wiedefeld. Any questions for Mr. Wiedefeld? Okay, next item on the agenda is a report by the Finance and Capital Committee. Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Two items were referred to the board at the March 14th Finance and Capital Committee meeting. Item one is to amend the FY 2019 budget for the Local 922 CBA as well as capital investments. So staff sought committee approval to amend the FY 2019 operating and capital budgets. Recent approval of the CBA between Metro and Local 922 requires an additional $1.146 million in local operating funding. Staff also sought approval to amend the capital budget FY 2019 by $154 million due to project schedules being advanced ahead of schedule. Funds will come from increased federal grant funding, debt from WMATA's lines of credit and other sources, and will not require additional jurisdictional contributions. Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion has been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, on the phone. David?
I'm abstaining. Thank you.
Okay. So the motion passes
Thank you.
7-1.
Have another item, Mr. Chairman. Staff also sought committee approval of the public hearing staff report and the adoption of the FY20 operating budget and the FY2025 capital improvement program and strategic plan. The proposed budget is built upon the general manager's keeping Metro safe, reliable, and affordable plan, which, as I will detail in an amendment, will officially be proposed to be adopted by the board and reflects a 3% base operating subsidy growth rate, along with other legislatively allowed exclusions to be consistent with the dedicated funding agreements from Virginia and Maryland. I'd also like to specifically note that this budget, as has been mentioned, does not include a fare increase, actually improves service with the rail extensions, and improves past products to be more affordable for riders. The capital improvement program fully funds safety and compliance and continues the focus on system preservation and maintaining a state of good repair, and ramps up to a $1.5 billion capital program with the accelerated delivery and completion of key initiatives. So I would like to move approval of the resolution, however, with some amendments that have surfaced since the committee took up this item 2 weeks ago. And those amendments are detailed in the language that I believe is with each board member, but I will summarize them quickly. It is to formally adopt rather than endorse KIMSRA as the strategic plan so that we can reflect language in Virginia's dedicated funding legislation. That amendment is operationalized by amending and restating the second resolve clause. Secondly, to reduce the Arlington County operating subsidy by $429,305 to reflect a reduction in bus service. That is an amendment and restating of the third resolve clause. And then finally, this affects all of the tables that have been presented with the budget, so it would supersede all of the tables that were circulated on Friday with corrected figures that are included in new attachments B, C, and F. B provides the operating budget split by modes. C looks at the operating subsidy by jurisdiction, and F looks at the capital budget by jurisdiction. And that concludes my report and my motion.
Okay, so Mr. Dorsey, let's break this down. So you're moving approval of the public hearing staff report and adoption of the FY 2020 operating budget, FY 2020 to 2025 CIP and strategic plan. So you've moved that. And is there a second? Second. Okay, so that's before us, and then you want to move these amendments to that. Is that correct? And you've already described the amendments.
Yes.
So Mr. Dorsey has moved the – there are three amendments, I believe. Is that right, or two?
What's that?
Were there two amendments, or?
Two amendments to the budget and amendments to the tables that accompany the budget.
Okay. So those amendments have been moved. Is there a second to the amendments? Second. Okay. Is there any discussion on the amendments? Do you have your hand up?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Michael.
I just have a question to Mr. Dorsey, just to, for the interest of transparency, to explain what Arlington bus route is being cut and why this is coming up so late in the process.
So this is the 2A bus route, which is one that there was some additional service that was provided through some additional funding provided by Arlington. And with the route not performing at a level that requires those levels of additional service, we saw an opportunity to no longer pay for something that wasn't meeting its desired intentions. So that's the route. So a couple of years ago, we had a route where we just essentially added some more buses to provide some more frequent trips during the rush hour. Ridership has declined significantly on those routes. So there is no need for those additional trips, since it can be all passengers can be well served by the current, by the former levels of service before the increase that was 100% paid for by Arlington.
And so is this a bus route that operates just exclusively in Arlington?
No. No, it traverses Fairfax and Arlington.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Further questions for Mr. Dorsey? Okay. Now, this is on the amendment. So all in favor of the amendment, the amendments. All in favor of the amendments signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? And Mr. David, where are you?
Aye.
Cyberspace. What did he say?
Why not?
Okay. 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 Before us now is the 2020 budget, operating budget as amendment. Is there any further discussion? Yes.
I have an amendment that was also distributed. The amendment would return the sixth resolve clause to the same language that's appeared in the last two budget resolutions. This is the clause which enables and caps the amount of federal grant funding that can be used to finance preventive maintenance, which is, generally speaking, an operating budget expense. This year, the version that was brought before the committee and now the board has the cap of $60 million but contains the extra two words or more. I'm proposing to strike those two words so that if there is, in fact, a specific proposal to increase the amount of preventive maintenance funded out of federal grants, that that is a specific proposal the board can pass judgment on. I can get into my other views with regard to this budget maneuver, but that may not be productive at this time. I think it's a simple question for the board that a blank check of or more should simply be, for now, left at the $60 million cap. And if a higher amount is proposed at a future date, then we can consider it at that time.
Okay. Mr. McMillan's amendment is before us. Is there a second to his amendment? Second. Any further discussion on Mr. McMillan's amendment?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to support Mr. McMillan's amendment today, even though I truly believe that the general manager staff's proposal to use federal preventive maintenance funds indirectly to be able to fund any kind of Silver Line ramp-up cost that we would experience in FY 2020 because I think that he makes a good point, and we should actually wait until we actually have the need for the Silver Line ramp-up funds before us before we make a decision. From latest reports from the general manager, we may not actually confront a need for those ramp-up costs in the FY 2020 budget. And if we do, it may be late in the year where the amount is significantly less than $37 million, or we may, by that point, have contracted the service on the Silver Line to a contractor, and these costs would then be undertaken by the contractor, and WMATA would be reimbursing him after the fact, again, pushing off the actual need for the costs into the FY 2021 budget year. So for those reasons, I think Mr. McMillan makes a good point, and I would support the amendment today. Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just as a brief point, I'm not going to oppose the amendment. I understand from a philosophical standpoint exactly where Mr. McMillan is coming from, and in a perfect world, this is probably a best practice, you know, from an organizational hygiene perspective. However, when you consider the what we've been doing over the course of the last year, incorporating a lot of different funding strategies and new strictures on how WMATA can operate, the or more flexibility, I don't find to be inherently unreasonable, but that said, I think it's fine for us to, as a board, take up this issue again so that we fully understand the implications of all the decisions that we make in the future.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of Mr. McMillan's amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Horner?
Aye.
What do you say? All right. Okay. All right. The amendment passes unanimously. Okay. Before us now is the approval of the FY 2020 operating budget, CIP, et cetera, as amended. Is there any discussion? Yes, Mr. Dorsey.
Mr. Chairman, I would just like briefly, with your indulgence, to just thank everybody. What I expect will be, if this board reflects the committee's vote a couple of weeks ago, this might be unanimous approval of the budget. No one should mistake that for an understanding that this was an easy budget. It wasn't at all. It required a lot from staff in terms of assimilating different rules and understanding it and translating it into a proposal that then needed to be socialized with many jurisdictions. And there's still some work that needs to be done to make sure that moving forward we have the exact right formula approach to constructing future budgets. But given the relative haste at which this had to be put together this year, I thought staff did a terrific job. And I'd like to commend board colleagues, because I know that this budget does not reflect everything every jurisdiction would want. Everyone had to compromise, delay or modify their expectations. And that's a true it's a true testament to the fact that this board is working well together, so I appreciate that. At the end, I think we've delivered a budget that's prudent, it's equitable, and most importantly, it delivers some real benefits to people who ride the system, who hopefully will feel that this is a great way forward to thank them for sticking with us during tough times, but hopefully also encourages other people who may have left or who may have never given us a try. So I would just like to thank everyone for their earnest participation this year.
Okay, very good, Mr. Dorsey, and thank you for your overseeing the budget and getting this done today. Any further discussion? Yes, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. I'd first like to congratulate Mr. Dorsey to bringing us to a finish line here in an extraordinary fashion. He's shown an extraordinary ability to herd cats, and he's demonstrated his ability to do that today as he does herd cats. You're a businessman. You should know that concept. I'm surprised you're not familiar with that terminology. Okay. On a more substantive basis, as a representative of Maryland, we can support this budget as it provides new service benefits and limits the subsidy increase to Maryland to 4.3%. Maryland's budget subsidy share overall will be $431 million, which is the largest among the three jurisdictions. I just want to repeat that. The Maryland amount in subsidy, annual subsidy, is now larger than that paid by either the district or the various Virginia jurisdictions combined. But this budget still represents a 10-plus percent increase over the FY19 budget approved by the board last spring. Differences reflect the post-approval increases for the local 689 wage increase and metro access cost that were after the spring approval of the last budget. the service improvements we are voting on today and including them in this budget are valuable, and they are a good down payment on the other service improvements recommended by the general manager that I believe will be included in a budget next year, specifically going to all 8-car trains and expanding rush hour service. But for this year, the benefits include an end to the East Side Red Line turnbacks, which doubles rush hour trains north of Silver Spring on the Red Line to Glenmont, and we extend the Yellow Line trains to Greenbelt, which is more capacity on Yellow Line trains and same ride service between Reagan National Airport and other points in Virginia and Greenbelt in Prince George's County. As we discussed 2 weeks ago, one area of our concern is the treatment of litigation costs as a legitimate exclusion. We continue to believe strongly that we disagree with this, and it has been removed in part in this budget approved today. But the amount involved is a small, $2.5 million in this budget, but we do have guidance from our Assistant Attorney General as concerns with it. And I must say that while we've given the general manager a semi-pass this year, we won't in the next budget if this kind of questionable legislative exclusion appears again over the 3% cap. It will be vigorously opposed by Maryland. And finally, I must point out that the total budget burden is now $1.24 billion. That's an increase of over 12% from last year's budget of also a little more than $1 billion. And as I pointed out 2 weeks ago at the Finance Committee meeting, our farebox recovery rates continue to be out of line with those of other transit systems based on recent National Transportation Database 2017 data on farebox recovery ratios for several other large transit systems that combine heavy rail and bus. WMATA's overall farebox recovery ratio is below that of New York, 55%, Boston, 43%, Chicago, 40%, and just above Philadelphia. For FY 2020, the budget we're approving today, WMATA's farebox recovery rate is only 35%. It jumps just a little bit higher to 42% if we include all the other revenue sources. And I also think we're not following good industry practices, and we have to, despite how undesirable it is, consider the need for periodic fare increases to cover higher operating costs. The recent local 689 wage settlement is a good example of an increase in operating cost that should be dealt with the consideration of raising revenue. Another will be the need, once the Silver Line Phase 2 starts up, to cover the increased operating costs resulting from that service. So there needs to be a better balance between what riders pay, the level of services provided to jumpstart new rider growth, and what jurisdictions are called upon to pay in higher subsidies. And that's a discussion which we will reengage on next year with the FY 2021 budget. Thank you. I support this budget.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. Further comments? Okay. The budget is before us as amended. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. David?
Aye.
All right. The ayes have it unanimously. Okay. Next item on the agenda is reports from the jurisdictions from the District of Columbia. Spring has come, and we have some exciting events taking place actually today. It's opening day for the Washington Nationals. Go Nats. Hopefully in the fall we'll be getting ready for the World Series. We'll see. Also, the Cherry Blossom Festival has started. It's supposed to be peak on Monday, so it is another exciting time, and people use Metro to get around to the Cherry Blossoms. It's one of our highest riding times, so that's another exciting thing in the district. So that's all we have from the district. WSTC, Mr. Crawford?
Nothing to report there.
NVTC, Mr. Smedberg?
Nothing to report.
And the federal government, Mr. Horner?
Nothing to report.
Okay. And with that, the meeting's adjourned.